Welcome to Scott in the Second, the real estate stories, unfiltered, unedited. I'm Scott Eckhoff, managing broker at Foundations Realty, powering Rival Real Estate and 5281 Exclusive Homes Realty. I appreciate you joining. Let's get started. Welcome back. This is Scott Eckhoff, managing broker at Foundations Realty, 5281 Exclusive Homes Realty, and Rival Real Estate. We are expanding, so pretty soon there'll be more names, so we'll just call it Foundations. This is Season 4, Episode 3, Listing Your Home. We're going to call this one, To the Closing Table. You are live on the market, and we're going to get you to the closing table, and what does that mean to you as the homeowner? Very exciting stuff. Thank you for tuning in. So let's get started. First, I'm going to have a little drink of wine. I'm actually doing these back-to-back today, so still brought to you by Camus. Is there Camus Zinfandel from Napa Valley? It's a great wine. I love it. In all honesty, it's a little bit watery, but who am I to judge? All right, so congratulations. You had 7 items, lots of tips, a couple visits from me, maybe a couple conversations. Your photos are done. You're in the MLS, which is how we get it out to the world, which means people can see it on Zillow and my website. And you are now live. You are ready for the public to come into your home and judge you. I mean, to look at your house. Sorry, to look at your house and judge you. So what does that mean? Where do we go from here? What can you expect? It's not like it's you're the buyer and you're going around and you're looking at homes and you're judging other people and deciding, is this for me? People are doing it to you. And so it's a little bit different. Your lives are disrupted. I mean, now if you've moved out, this is easy. You don't care. It's vacant or it's staged. People go in and out. But we're going to pretend you still live there. So I'm going to give a couple tips, and then we're going to go over what to expect. If it's possible, go live on Thursday, handle the traffic on Thursday, part of Friday when you're at work, or if you work from home, maybe work from somewhere else, and go away for the weekend. Open your house up, let people come in, just be gone. It's just so much better. Go to a local hotel, maybe if you have a great realtor, and you have this conversation, maybe they'll put you up in a nice little hotel. It doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, we all have to make money, and you know, but really good realtors like Scott Eckhoff might do that for you. So let your home be ready to be shown. So here's what's going to happen. And this is up to you. Everyone has a preference. Everybody has a different approach. So we're just going to have a free conversation here, like you're sitting in front of me. So the first thing we need to know is, how do you want to know when you're having a showing? So buyer agent Sue or buyer agent John decide they're going to show their clients, and they do Friday at 2 p.m. Normally I handle those. I get them and I if it's not vacant or you're not going to be out of town, I will send you a quick text message and say, 2 p.m., is that doable? And I will ask for an hour window so we have time for you to remove yourself or to, you know, pick up things. And then you would tell me yes, and I'll approve it. Now, you can also be the one to approve it. So I don't even get a chance to approve it. I see it, but you approve it. Or it can be either or it could be, there's a multitude of options. The whole point of having it come to me is so I can make sure, A, is it within the hour? If it's not within the hour, maybe you already have a showing and I can say, hey, can you stay out another half hour? We're going to get another showing back to back, right? So it's allowing me to manipulate the situation and the time so you don't have to keep being bothered, because it can get tiresome and it can, then they're going to rearrange and you're trying to know which one rearranged. It's just easier to have your realtor deal with it. You can be involved. Maybe you don't approve, but you at least get the notification. So now people are coming in. They're looking at it. They leave. If you have cameras, if those cameras record audio, or if you, even if they allow for audio. A few things. I'm not going to stop you from protecting your home. I am going to ask you not to sit there and watch people and listen. They know you're watching because you have a camera, and I'm going to disclose there is camera and audio, video and audio. You're not always going to like what you hear. You're not going to like what you see. People forget to turn off lights. People don't lock doors. I can't go after every agent and be like, you did something wrong, and scold them, because that agent may come with the best offer you've ever seen in your life, and you want me to tell them something to make them mad. There may not come with it. So please, don't watch, or at least, at a minimum, do not listen. It does not matter what somebody thinks. Your home is wonderful. You've got an amazing realtor listing it. It's okay. So they're going to potentially give feedback. So they've come in the home. I send out an automated questionnaire, just a few questions. Do you think the price is right? Is your client interested? What did your client think of the home? And it's a free form there. So there's just a few questions. You can receive that feedback. I can receive that feedback, or we can both receive it. Typically, I take it, and then I go through it, because sometimes people do one question and nothing else. What I don't like is, oh, they said that they were semi-interested. What does that mean? Are they going to put in an offer? Or they're semi-interested, but they said this. What does that mean? It's your whole point is not to get bogged down in the minute details. It's for me to say, okay, someone said they were interested, but they didn't leave really good feedback, or they left great feedback. And if we don't see some traction in a couple days, I'll reach back out to that agent and said, hey, your clients were interested. What can we do to get them from going to be interested to putting in an offer? Let me deal with that. If you want to be part of it, that is okay. I'm just telling you my experience. I'm paid to do this. I understand the feedback, and I'm one step away from the situation. It allows me to be objective and unbiased and not hurt, right? I mean, obviously, I don't want anyone to say anything negative about my clients, but I'm not going to be as offended if it's something you don't want to hear. So we go through these showings. Well, guess what happened? We have an offer. That's great. I'm going to go through that offer. I'm going to read it. I'm going to call the lender for you and make sure that if it's not cash, that this person is qualified, and get a good feel from the lender of what they can provide and if they can meet that closing date. If it's cash, I'm going to verify the documents are within reason as far as up to date. If it's 6 months old, they could have spent all that money. We don't know. They could have bought 4 houses. I might ask for something more up to date before I present it and let you know there's an offer. I need some more details first, because I don't want to get you excited on something that may or may not transpire. So I'm going to, if it's only one offer at the time, we're going to just discuss the offer. I typically do not like to send the offer over, because depending on what state you're in, if you hit the wrong button and you sign it, you're under contract. For example, in Colorado, if you went to counter, you no longer check a box or initial or sign the original. We create a counter offer and you sign that one. Some states you sign, I'm rejecting this offer, I'm creating a counter offer, and you check a box and sign. That used to be problematic in Colorado, because people didn't check a box, and now you're under contract for the asking price you don't want. So we'll go over it. If there are multiple offers coming in, by the time I get a chance to sit down with you and go over them, I'm going to give you a little chart. I'm going to spell out the terms. I'm going to point out anything that is a bonus, anything that is a feature, something that's, you know, hey, look at me, I'm a good offer. I'm going to pull out those things that are context in reference to what that offer is. And we're going to discuss it. This is where things get tricky. And in fact, I just went through this tonight, where a house was on the market, it fell off because the buyer did not like certain things and they didn't even try to negotiate and they left. Now the house is sitting there and I came in with the full price offer and they knew a potential offer might come in and they wanted to put me off. So they did. And then they decided, well, if you don't want to wait and roll the dice, then you need to come up on your price. Well, I'm already at asking price. If you wanted more, you should have asked for more. So it's very frustrating, right? So we listed at a certain price, and I get it. You want more money. You want better terms. You want everything. You want that diamond in the rough. And there's nothing wrong with it. But here's before we discuss the offer. If you get what you asked for, why do you not want it? And if you do want it, then you should be signing it. And if you don't, then I want to know, then what do you need? Because I can go and change that price. I can make it higher. Yes, I tell you, we always price a little bit lower, not substantially lower, to get more. But if you want more and you don't want the lower, or you're not willing to take the lower, then I'm not going to list it at lower. So you get the offer. We review the terms. If there are multiple offers, we review the things that stand out. The unimportant things, like everyone's going to do an inspection in 10 days and they're going to do X, Y, and Z, right? That's not something to compare. But price, closing date, financing, type of financing, down payment. Are they foregoing any contingencies like inspection or appraisal? Are they bringing other things? Are they limiting anything? Right, we're going to talk about all the things that will constitute the actual meat of the offer and then make a decision. I'm going to let you decide, and then we're going to rank them if there's multiple ones. If there's not, then we're just going to focus on the one. And the question is the offer meeting what your need is, right? You need the price we're listed at. You want a different number. You need an easy transaction, which means you don't want to fix anything if you don't have to. You want it to be quick because you need to move on, right? So there's things that you need and there's things that you want. And we're going to look at it and we're going to say, is this meeting the needs and how many of those needs? And if it's just one offer and it's only day one, you may say, you know what, it is meeting some of those, but it's not hitting any of our wants. And we may have a ton of showings. So I'm like, you know what, that's okay. We can always come back to them and say, it's a good offer. It's not quite what we want. It's what we need. It's not what we want. We're only on Friday. Can you give us a couple more days? I will come back to you maybe with some hints of, would you like to resubmit a better offer? We do risk not getting any and losing that offer. However, it is your choice. Now, if we have multiple offers and it's to the point where you're like, you know what, we probably should probably pick one because this is going to get crazy. Now you start looking at, first of all, do they hit the needs? Yes or no? Okay, so we eliminated two of those. You got three more. How many of the ones, and are they the important ones, do they hit? Okay, they hit three of those. Great, they're all in the running. Did a lender call you? Are they paying in cash? So did a lender call me and have a conversation with me? Because that says a lot. That means that lender works 24/7, and when I need them, they're going to be there. How was the agent? I've had some agents give me a lot of attitude before we've accepted an offer, and when it came down to it, it was the agent that was humble and appropriate and professional and helpful. And I just knew that their goal was to get to the closing table, not make them look good. So all these things come into play. And we talk about it and we process it. And you've decided to accept an offer, or maybe you want to counter the offer. Either way, we make the changes. Everybody's happy. And your home is under contract. Things are great. Please remember this. We have a couple options. Do you want to continue to show the home? Sometimes people get cold feet. Sometimes inspection freaks them out. Sometimes lending falls through. I recommend showing for a backup offer If it is cash and they're not doing inspection and it's a 10-day close, maybe not. You don't want to intrude and make them feel like, hey, you don't trust me. But for the most part, what is wrong with allowing people to still see it and get a backup offer? Because if something falls through, those people still may be looking for a home. I think it's important. I would hate to start over from scratch because now someone's going to be like, well, we can get the home for cheaper. And that's not necessarily true. But you don't put all your eggs in one basket. But your life is still going to be disrupted. You're still going to feel on edge. And it's okay. That's what I'm here for. So next, we're going to turn over any documents that they need. Warranties, manuals, I know. People don't keep those things. If you don't have them, it's okay. We've already filled out all the disclosures and turned those over, so you're done. Now they're going to want to do an inspection. Please don't be home for the inspection. Give them time. If it's a townhouse, condo, give them a couple hours. If it's a house, a couple hours. If it's a large house, 3-4 hours, so on and so forth. Just be gone for the day. It doesn't matter what they find. Remember, someone is coming into your home, which is the inspector, and depending on the state, they may or may not have to be licensed. It's not really important. I mean, it is for the state, but it's not for the conversation. And their job is to find every single thing they can wrong with the house. And as a listing agent, yeah, you know, it's just how you do it. As a buyer's agent, it's actually ridiculous. Yes, that outlet is upside down. Yes, there's a light bulb missing. Well, you don't need to write up that a light bulb's missing, have it replaced, and see if it works. If the other light bulbs came on, most likely it works. You could also move one light bulb to the other side and test it. I don't understand this mentality, but it tends to freak people out. So the inspection you need to take with, let's call it 2 grains of salt, because every inspector is going to find something different. So they're going to give us a list, or maybe they won't, of things they want fixed, or credits, or a combination, or they may say, you know what, I'm not comfortable, there's so much wrong, I'm going to walk. My job is to go through that and wade through it. Now, let me step back. Here is, because I do this podcast and I'm licensed in multiple states, and this is where things get weird. Every state has laws. Every state has expectations. If the buyer gives you this inspection report and there are clearly things that are truly wrong, you now have to disclose this to everybody else because you know about it. Remember, we have to disclose material facts. Material facts are things that we know about. Certain states like Washington, you can say, I do not want a copy. Do not tell me something because your inspector may be wrong and so it can hurt you. And I'm a firm believer of do not accept an inspection report because I know a lot of inspectors that are horrible and they're going to tell you stuff. And I'm like, I just had an actual expert, someone that is licensed in their field, come out and tell us otherwise. So I don't want your report when all you came in when was with a notebook and you forgot your pen. And you told me that the water main doesn't have a shutoff valve. I'm like, well, that's gas, not water. So we have a problem to begin with, right? I don't want someone handing me material facts that may or may not be true. And now I have to prove them. Nonetheless, we're going to work through it. We want to make sure if it's something serious, it gets addressed, whether it's through money at closing. Maybe you don't have the money to fix it. We can always escrow money. Or, you know, you fix it yourself and we move on. We never want to leave something that's a problem for someone else. It's a home. They're moving in to make a home. Even if it's an investment, you don't want an investor to move in and have a problem unless they're buying a $30,000 investment that it's expected. Because you're good people and you're going to buy a home and you want someone to do something good for you. So now we're through inspection. Congratulations. We worked it out. It's stressful. No one likes it because you're like, I take great care of my home. And now there's 42 items that an inspector found. It's okay. You still take great care of your home. Things get old. We get old. I swear to God. I mean, I'm pushing 50 in a couple years and things just hurt. I don't even have to do anything. I can sneeze. You know, it's amazing what happens. Well, imagine if you're a home where people are using you and stepping on you and putting stuff in you, and there's the wind and the weather, and it's going to happen. It's okay. We're through it. Now, the stressful part. And depending on the market, it may not be stressful, but the appraisal has to happen. Now, if you're paying cash, you probably waived your right to an appraisal. Or you waived your right to terminate because of an appraisal, but you still want to know what your equity is. And if you're paying cash, I think the $600, $500 is still worth knowing what the house is worth. I think you waive the contingency, but you still get the appraisal done. Just my two cents. It's just, it's good facts. It's good information to have. Because maybe you're going to take out a loan now to do some home improvement against that. And you want to know what that equity looks like, because you don't want to surprise and have no equity. That person's going to come out. You cannot be there. Please don't be there. You can, but don't. I won't be there. No one should be there. This person will come out, and they're going to go through, and they're going to do an appraisal. They're going to look at what you have, what needs to happen, and what the market dictates that home is worth. And there's more. This is exciting. It's not exciting. It's exciting. If you have a VA or an FHA loan, there can be what they call conditions. So you are listing at $375,000, and they may say your home is worth $375,000. Scott Eckhoff, you priced it right. Clients, you accepted the right offer. But they could say you're missing some covers in the basement on the junction box. You have too much peeling paint on the outside. You have A, B, or C. Those need to be fixed in order for this loan to close. Excuse me. So now we're in a predicament. The appraisal came back at the right value, but it has conditions. You have one choice, really. Fix the conditions. Or terminate, because we can't fight the appraisal, and then you need to not accept FHA or VA loans going forward, because you're going to run into the same problem. They are sticklers about certain things. And it's funny, because as interest rates raised, I feel like they got even stricter on what they were looking for. And to me, it's like, hey, if you're going to raise the rates and cause people to have less money to buy, maybe ease up a little bit. Let them have a couple things wrong. A little bit of peeling paint is not the end of the world, right? A faceplate on an electrical panel, or not electrical panel, an electric switch where you plug something in, right? So you have a little white faceplate or silver or gold, whatever you have. That 99-cent piece is not enough to stop a loan. It really is not worth it, especially in an unfinished basement. It's not going to cause anything different. Leave a sticky note. We'll put it on, right? So sometimes you get an appraisal that comes back and says your home's not worth what you think it is. It's okay. We have the ability to fight that. And you win, you lose. There's a whole process of how you negotiate through it. And that's not really the content of this podcast. But I want you to know it's okay if you don't hear what you want. It's one person's opinion. It happens. It's rare. I've seen it twice with me. I've won both fights, but it's rare. So we get through it. We work it out if we have to. If not, we're through it and we're great. If there are conditions, chances are they're minor. Most times if the inspector didn't see it, or if you didn't want to fix it, now you have to. It's usually pretty minor. You can sometimes, depending if it's a local lender or not, you can escrow those things in the end. So let's say they say, you have a $5,000 fix on your driveway. We're not going to approve the loan. You can escrow that if you have an invoice so they can get paid at closing. Maybe you don't have $5,000. It's okay. Let's escrow that. We'll get through the condition. Things are going well. You're looking good. We're through appraisal. The loan gets a clear to close. Your buyers are good to go. We are... 4 days, 5 days from closing, when they get possession. Please be ready to move out. Please have someone come in and clean your home. I will send someone in to do a post-move cleaning if it's something we talked about. Some of you like to do your own cleaning. It can be therapeutic. Maybe you're not sure when you're going to be ready. There can be a lot of things. But if you need to have it done, make sure you're communicating that to your realtor. They're going to come through and do a final walkthrough. And it varies when it happens. I don't wait to the day of closing because I do not like to have surprises. So I will do it the night before. If everything you said was fixed, should be fixed. It should be done. If it's not, we need to communicate. But they're going to come and say, if there was a list of items, are they done? They better be done. And it better look like you're going to move out. I walked into a house one time and the sellers, I don't know how they packed, but they did it. And the house was a mess and I paid for a cleaner to come in. But they weren't ready. They had 16 hours to pack up their house and move out. You don't get to decide. There is a time on there. And usually it says upon funding or delivery of deed or recording of deed. And each state is different. Some states you still have to wait to move in after you close because the deed has to be recorded. So it's different. But if that is the time that you said and you don't have a rent back, please be out of the house, preferably the day before. Please bring me the keys or leave them to where I can get them. We want this to be easy. You want good karma. You have sold your house. You have signed your papers and brought your ID to the closing table. Now, sellers can sign early. If you are moving or you're busy or traveling for work or you're moving out of state and you have already moved out of the house, you can sign those papers early. Those buyers will sign and they'll close. Funding will happen. Title company will get the money. Depending on what time that is, you may or may not get paid the same day because there's cutoff times. Sometimes a wire doesn't trigger in time. So just be prepared. It could be another day or two. You can ask for a cashier's check. I would just suggest you pay for the wire. If your bank charges you, it's worth a little bit of money. It's just easier. It really is. But you have closed. You've given everything. If there are questions, I might reach out as your listing agent. There's going to be questions. Hey, we don't have the garage code for the outside keypad. Or is there a security code to the sprinkler system? Or, hey, this kid always comes in asking for candy. Did you give him candy before? Be those people that say, I'm going to give you some information the best I can, knowing you might run into something that's not yours. But you know what? You've done a lot. You don't have to. But put yourself in those people's shoes. But what I want to say is congratulations. You sold your house. You got the money. You're on to the next chapter of your life. We as a team are amazing. Hopefully I was able to find you a home. I'm licensed in a lot of states, so hopefully it worked. And hopefully you'll refer me and you'll come back. But you did great, right? You were responsible. You interviewed. You discussed your needs and your wants. You pointed out things about your home. You prepared your home. You allowed the public to come in and judge you and look at your home. And then you were responsible enough to take criticism and positive feedback and praise and get to the closing table and sign those papers and you've sold your home. You made a decision to list and you made a decision to sell because you had the best agent, Scott Eckhoff, and you had a strong mind and that strong will. And that's what it takes to get this done. It's not easy. There's a lot that goes into it. And it's, you know, if things aren't moving in a weekend and you're on the market for 60 days and you still have to live there, it is a frustrating time. But that's why you will hear from me. You should hear from your agents on a weekly basis. We should have feedbacks. We should have plans. Maybe we need to do things to adjust. At the end of the day, your decision should be a decision for success. And if it's not, you're not with the right agent. But remember to be realistic and give them a chance to work. Make sure everything that we say we're going to bring to the table, we do. Because that's what matters. And you matter. So this is our series, Decision to List. We've gone everywhere from how to find and what to do to get the home prepared and get it on the market and to close. Awesome series. I'm really excited about the next one. I'm not going to tell you. It's going to be a surprise. And also, I'm going to do a Tuesday surprise one. I'm not going to tell you what Tuesday. I really want to start focusing on not just my podcast, and I told you I'd tell you about this. So if you go to Scott, S-C-O-T-T, dot your real estate brokers, YOURRealEstate brokers, BROKERS .com, and click on the blog section. Or if you want to look at homes, click on the home section. I'm going to also put these here, these podcasts, but I'm also going to start putting 1 minute videos, and it could be a little bit less, it might be a little bit more. I'm going to try to keep them no more than 90 seconds on tips on real estate. I'm also going to put longer blogs that you can read if you're a reader, and just some great information, some good resources. Start looking for events that are happening on my page as well. I'm going to start doing a community series where we're launching stuff to give back. You all deserve the best, and I want to be more than just your realtor and your friend. I want to be someone that offers you other things in your life, and just so you can have fun and know, hey, Scott told me about this. I appreciate you. Keep referring. I am Scott Eckhoff, managing broker at Foundations Realty. Have a wonderful day, and turn in next week and see what we're going to talk about. Take care. Thank you for listening to Scott in a Second, the real estate stories, unfiltered, unedited. I'm Scott Eckhoff, managing broker at Foundations Realty, powering Rival Real Estate in the Kansas City metro area and 5281 Exclusive Homes Realty in the Denver metro area. Stay tuned for next week. Always released Thursday at 9 a.m.